Hey, it's Cody here with another episode of Contrarian Thinking, the last one of 2021. It's called He Built a $29 Billion Empire Off of Trash. Basically, boring and a wee bit dirty wins again. But first, because we have no ads, sponsorships, annoying pop-ups, anything like that, we do one thing and one thing only that we ask of you guys, and that's to check out our premium membership Cashflow, where we break down a new topic every single month. So if you like contrarian thinking, I think you're going to love Cashflow. Also, the price goes up 5x starting in January, so check it out. It's basically 12 different income streams. Every single one comes to you each month, and then a community that supports it all. Okay, back to trash. Today in 10 minutes, we're going to dive into a contrarian thought, the self-defeat phenomenon, the secret to a 25-year-old building a billion-dollar company, the veteran behind the Fortune 500 waste disposal company, and how he went from zero to being publicly traded in 5 years. So first, a rant. I call this the self-defeat phenomenon. I've been playing on the internet now for a year, and I've seen a niggling, nagging trend that has reared its ugly head again and again in my interactions. In the comments of posts, in the retweets, in the replies to emails, I've named it the self-defeat phenomenon. Here's a truth I've come to see. Most people truly do not believe they can do big things. They do not believe that the things someone like me, or those much more impressive than me, have accomplished can be available for them. And when you tell them they really can, you create a discord, like a bad note on a guitar string. And that discord creates a terrible sound, a ringing screech, compared with all the notes they've connected in their life. And because no one wants to rewrite the song of their life to go to a higher level, you sound to them like a liar or a deceiver, instead of a believer in their abilities. So I sat one morning wondering at this. So we had a video go pretty viral, 10.6 million views on TikTok, no big deal. Anyway, it was about vending machines. And while the comments were more positive than not, the resounding ones were, no, this is fake, it can't be, I've done it and it didn't work that way. I just picture their blood vessels popping. The tough part is, I'd seen the guy's financials. He'd let me peruse what he was building. Unless he cooked the books, unlikely, he was telling the truth. But the discordant sound was ringing in people's ears. Why? Because they believe if they had done it and it didn't work that way, it wasn't because they messed up. It was because it was impossible. This is called cognitive bias. I believe this. It means basically like, I believe this, and thus I will only listen to the things that confirm my beliefs. It's the foundation of much that is wrong in our world today. So I want to leave you with something here. Can you try one change for me this week? One simple tweak. Instead of seeing something and saying, this won't work, or not for me, ask instead, how could this work for me? You might just surprise yourself with what you're capable of and what the world can offer you. Okay, how a veteran turned America's garbage into an 11-figure fortune. Picture this. It's 1962, eek, 59 years ago, and you're fresh out of the Army. You've got only a high school diploma to your name, no hard skills, and you've certainly got no money. Anyone with a brain would first lock down a job, right? Not this guy. By the way, there's a picture of this guy here with his arms crossed, which means he's serious. Anyway, meet Harry Wayne Wazinga. If you think you've heard of him, if you think you haven't heard of him, you're probably wrong. He was in his 20s, and I'm not sure about all of you, but your 20s are terrifying years for most people. You're just stepping into adulthood. You probably won't have a clue regarding what you want out of life. And Wayne wasn't much different. At 25, he had spent 6 months in the Army as a reserve. Before that, he had enrolled only 3 semesters at a liberal arts college before dropping out. And the next 5 years saw him hopping from odd job trying to make ends meet. On paper, it didn't look like he had much going for him. But all that changed the day after he was discharged from the Army. While he and his father were out to lunch, they ran into a high school classmate of his father's who owned a garbage collection business. As fate would have it, he was in the market for a new manager, so he offered Wayne the job. Keep in mind that Wayne's grandfather was into trash hauling himself, and Wayne never wanted any part of the family business. But despite his protests, he was hired. His new boss assured him that it'd only be for a couple weeks. Well, 3 weeks turned into 3 months, and Wayne was still driving out to Pompano Beach every day to dispatch garbage trucks. Except now, he wasn't indignant about the business. He was fascinated by it. So a few days later, he was reading the newspaper when he saw the ad that started it all. Refuse root for sale, revenue $500 a month. It was at this point he remembered the words his father told him as a boy. You can't make real money working for someone else. So he decided to get some skin in the game. He reached out to the seller. After negotiating for some seller financing, he was able to get his root for $0 down. Now, if you follow me on TikTok, you know everyone loves to tell me this isn't doable. Well, my dears, people have been buying businesses with $0 down since the 1960s. With an additional $5,000 loan from his father and a single truck, Wayne had officially become a garbage collector. But how did he go from one truck to being traded on the New York Stock Exchange? Well, Wayne started two trash companies in his lifetime. The first was the South Sanitation Service, which he bootstrapped from nothing. The second was Waste Management, Inc., which was formed when a relative convinced him to merge their garbage disposal companies. Now, trash and New York Stock Exchange aren't two words you usually see in the same sentence, but it took 5 short years for Waste Management to IPO. Even by tech standards, that fast. That's fast. It took Twitter 7 years, Facebook 9, Pinterest 10 years. Which begs the question, how did Wayne pull it off? For one thing, pure grind had a lot to do with it. Wayne would wake up at 2 a.m. every day, Jesus, hop in his garbage truck and make his collection rounds on his routes. Then he'd return at noon, don a suit, and head into town to score more business. But hustle culture wasn't all there was to Wayne's business plan. If it was, he wouldn't have been able to build two more Fortune 100 companies in his 50s, which he did. No, Wayne had a secret sauce, something we like to call M&A, aka buying businesses. We talk about that all day long at Unconventional Acquisitions. If you're into biz buying, this may tickle your little fancy. You see, in Wayne's time, the garbage collection industry was a fragmented one. The market was filled with many small players and none of them called the shots. Wayne had the idea that if he could buy out his competition and merge all their businesses into one, he could dominate the market. And that's what he did. Instead of doing startup hustle, instead of trying to dominate his competitors, he bought them. Before he walked away from Waste Management in 1984, Wayne had acquired 133 companies. Their trucks, accounts, resources, he made it all his. And today, Waste Management services nearly 21 million customers across 3 countries with 26,000 trucks and hundreds of landfills and recycling plants. In 2020 alone, the company did $15.2 billion in revenue. Hard to imagine them pulling such strong numbers if they hadn't converted their rivals. Then they took these things from a dirty business, as a picture of one of their garbage trucks, to a listing on the NASDAQ, to hosting my personal favorite golf tournament, the Waste Management Open. That one makes me chuckle. Golf is about as white-collar, fancy-schmancy of a sport as you can imagine. I mean, look at the traditional sponsors of golf tournaments. Rolex, Barclays, consultants, and yes, now trash collectors. But that's not all. The concept of M&A is painfully simple, so much so that you might write them off as a one-trick pony. Spoiler, they're not. Using the same M&A strategy, Wayne was able to grow another boring business of his to billions. By aggressively buying out local video stores, Wayne was able to open, can you guess the name of the business? Blockbuster, 9,000 Blockbuster stores around the U.S. If we were to crunch the numbers, he was opening a new location every 16 hours. Of course, it's important to mention Blockbuster no longer has the shine it once used to. There's only one store still standing in Bend, Oregon. But when it was in its heyday, man, did it cash flow. In 2000 alone, the business did $5 billion in revenue just by being a video store down the street. Eventually, Wayne ended up selling Blockbuster for $8 billion, but not before he had consolidated his competition and milked the market for its worth. Too long didn't read. As humans, we are wired to see our competition as the enemy, especially in business, but they don't have to be. Why go toe-to-toe with other businesses when you can convert them and use their resources to grow? So question everything and buy out the competition. Until next week.